Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 24th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Alain Nahimana. Originally from Burundi, Alain is now the coordinator for the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition, as well as the Immigrants' Rights and Racial Justice Organizer for Maine People's Alliance. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Alain.
Thanks, Kate.
It's a pleasure to have you here on this beautiful Sunday.
I'm glad to be here.
So you're originally from Burundi. I'd love to know what you think is the most important thing that every American should understand about Burundi.
Oh, that's a tough question. I think Burundi is one of the most beautiful countries I've ever seen. We have a good climate throughout the year, good landscape, mountains. We have a lake with very nice fish. We have also nice people. Burundi people is really hardworking people, and I really enjoy my country, as I think everybody enjoys their country too.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. It is extraordinarily gorgeous and mountainous, is that right?
It's mountainous, yeah.
And a lot of agriculture.
Yes, most of the population live from agriculture. We have very good fresh produce throughout the year.
But you didn't just grow up in Burundi. You also grew up in Switzerland, is that correct?
Correct. My father was working in Switzerland, yeah.
And did you go back and forth frequently? Where did you grow up primarily?
Primarily grew up in Burundi because I spent a few years in Switzerland and then came back in Burundi where I completed my college. University of Burundi.
What kind of things did you study in college?
Economics.
Economics. So how many languages do you speak, and when did you start learning English?
I started learning English, I think as the seventh grade, probably. But I speak six languages. Kirundi, Kinyarwanda, Swahili, French, English, and Spanish.
Wow. What an asset to the community. I understand you do a little translating. Do you just...
I used to do that. I don't have time to do it anymore.
It's because you're busy doing other wonderful things. I wonder what your life was like as a child of a foreign diplomat going back and forth. And what did you imagine your life might be like when you were a kid? Did you see economics in your future?
No. Actually, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a doctor. And then as I was growing up, I think when I was 18 years old, I read a book by Napoleon Hill, which was Think and Grow Rich. And I was motivated to go into economics and become a businessman.
Hmm. You've been thinking and growing rich ever since?
Ever since. Still.
That's great. And you're also helping your community to grow rich. I love that. So where did you get your passion for political work, especially your work around your awareness around the contributions of women in the community? I think that's a unique angle for you.
Yes, it's very, very unique for me because my mother, since I was born, my mother's into politics in the women's movement in Burundi. She used to be the Secretary General of the Women's League of the then single party in Burundi. She was like the second powerful woman in Burundi. And I grew up, following what she did and what she was advocating for women being in a society. I have two sisters. I would say that they also played a role in my family because we have a powerful mother and two sisters who were also there. And I was, for a long time before I get a young brother, I was the only boy in the house. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I came up to grow up and think that women have the same chances, the same potential as men. And for that, I think we should be very keen about giving them the space they deserve. Not by giving them a favor, but they deserve to be fully integrated in what we do in everywhere, in every kind of activity we have, with the same equal chances and same equal opportunities as men.
I bet people are glad to see you coming.
I don't know, but I'm glad to see that coming up like in our community. I'm from Burundi, and when I was elected president, I made sure the vice president was a woman.
And who is the vice president?
Her name is Claudette.
Wonderful. So, yeah. Yes, it's important, not just in idea, but in practice, to share the leadership.
I think that diversity lenses are lenses we should keep on all the time. it's very easy to just forget and take the easiest path, which is will be non-inclusivity.
Yes, we tend to choose people like ourselves, right? And it's a little harder.
It's harder.
Choose others.
Especially in men, if you don't speak loud, you might never be seen.
When did you realize that you would probably be leaving Burundi?
The country was going under political turmoil, and it's still. So it didn't take me long to understand that I was in danger and I had to leave, as many other people did before me and are still doing now.
Do you still have family there?
Yes, we have extended family there. Yeah.
And my understanding is you came 4 years ago and directly to Portland, right?
No, I did 2 months in San Diego, California, and then I came in Maine. Everybody asked me, how can you leave San Diego and come in Maine? But I wanted to be in a smaller place where you can start a new life and have strong hold on things you're doing rather than being a drop in the ocean with many people, bigger cities, and you don't know where to start your new life. And I was not afraid by the cold. So I came here and joined and found there was already a community from Burundi here. And there was a strong, I would say, American community too involved in supporting immigrants and with different programs that I felt that I fit in, and I stayed here.
About how many Burundians are in the Portland area?
I can't give a figure, but we're probably around 1,000 plus.
That's a strong community.
It's a strong community, and especially because we're trying to organize a community and act as one community with the same aspirations, same challenges, and try to help each other. And we hope to keep building that because it's easy to destroy. So we're really there to continue, try to work together.
Unify.
Yeah.
What did you think the United States might be like before you arrived here? Was your expectation like your reality?
I have always been fascinated by this country with the opportunities it gives to everyone, with its values. I've been reading about America and reading books from American writers. And if I had to make a choice where to go, even if I had a choice, I would choose to come to this country.
And you came as an asylum seeker. So did that give you some choice about where you would go?
Yes, give a choice, because you could have a visa to go to Europe. You can always apply for asylum or go in another country. So I choose to apply here because I already had a family here. But I would have gone anyways. The only one thing I want to add is that what I found in Americans, they take what they have as granted. From other people's perspective, when you come from war-torn countries or country where there's no rule of law, country where there's no equal opportunities to everyone, countries where the constitution, the laws don't mean anything, countries where the rule of the strongest is the one which is the rule of the land. When you come here, you really appreciate what your ancestors have built that maybe some people would take for granted. So I'm always very surprised when people ask, why do you come here?
We tend to see our flaws, don't we, and forget. We'll complain about things that seem crazy comparatively.
Yes, and it's a great thing that people envy the American way of life, and people should be happy about it, happy that they've been blessed to have such country, instead of blaming other people for wanting to come here.
I have a friend from Congo who one day was concerned about me driving home in the dark, and I thought she thought I was tired. I couldn't figure it out. And her friend said, she's not tired, she's afraid for you driving in the dark. And that's taking it for granted, right? I never knew to be grateful that I could count on the fact that I could drive home in the dark and not be stopped by police and robbed or worse.
Absolutely, yeah. Different backgrounds and different situations that make people, even when they're here, have some stress, think about what happened home.
Yeah. How are you different today, now that you're here in Maine, than you were when you were a Burundi resident?
I think I learned how to be myself, how to say what I have in my heart, what I think, without fearing that someone's going to blame me for my opinions. That's the most important thing. I learned about fairness. I learned about diversity. I learned about collaborating with other people, because when you come and you can achieve more by working together with other people than working alone. And I'm really happy that after 4 years, I can say that I feel almost integrated in this country, in a position that I can be helpful to other people too.
So glad to hear that. That's a bundle of assets you've gained. But you had the freedom and the space to speak your mind. I think that's really a powerful piece.
That's the key. That's the key. If you don't unleash the fear, you will not be able to talk for yourself or for others.
I'm glad you can have that. To whom or what do you attribute your success thus far in Maine?
Am I successful in Maine? I don't know yet. But I would say that in the course of what I've been doing since I came here, I would say the community. Even though some people blame others for not being so open to immigrants, I think there's a lot of people very open to immigrants and very open to give them the opportunities they deserve. But what I would say that, you know, what I tell everyone, if you're in a position anywhere you are and you should do the best you can at that position and be open to go the extra mile to do what you have to do. And when especially you don't think about yourself, think about the interests of the most people, the interests of the people you're supposed to help, instead of selfish and personal interest.
I think maybe that's one of the most important things immigrants bring, is a community consciousness. What's best for the whole, rather than our rather individualistic, what's best for me
absolutely.
Kind of goals.
Yeah. There's something I call the life cycle of an immigrant today. Whether you come as an asylum seeker or refugee, the problems you encounter when you come, like the first year, or the second year, the fourth year, will be the same for everybody.
It's a predictable pattern.
Predictable. And again, now if you try to address the issue because you are on the second year of your problems, what about the person who just arrived? So you need to learn that cycle to be able to see the best way of providing services to the immigrants, also to be able to kind of conceptualize the best way to do by thinking about the most of the people than any individuals.
I'd love to see more on that, because it's not something I personally have gone through, but I love knowing in other things in my life, this is okay that I'm at a low here, because this would be the normal time to be at a low. It's a little ease, even when you're going through difficult times.
Kate, you're doing a good job with the radio to open the to new manners. Keep doing that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You are listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. And if you're just joining us, welcome. Today I'm visiting with Alain Nahimana, originally from Burundi and now doing advocacy work for immigrants and minorities through Maine People's Alliance and the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition. Alain is also the elected president of the Burundi Community Association of Maine. So, Alain, who collaborates with you on the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition, which, as I understand it, is a diverse group of organizations that work together to better the experiences of Maine immigrants?
Yes, the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition is a coalition of 29 members, organizations, which includes advocacy groups, faith organizations, and immigrants group themselves. So this is the only coalition that has both immigrant groups and non-immigrant groups working together for the bettering of immigrant lives in Maine through advocacy and education.
And did you say how many groups there are?
29.
29. That's really a substantial group of people around the table to have a conversation.
And it's growing.
And it's growing.
But what makes it work, that most of the organizations are really dedicated to make a change for immigrants in Maine. So they are professional organizations and immigrant groups that have everything in common to be able to work together.
I really love that idea. People working in their smaller teams and then coming together under an umbrella group to really move.
On some issues, you can't achieve them without working with others. And immigrants having strong allies within the coalition are in a better place in the coalition than anywhere else to be able to advocate for anything.
If there were immigrants listening to the show that were concerned about their rights, how would they get in contact with you?
So they don't have to get in contact with me necessarily, but we usually follow up, like in terms of policies coming up, or if there are individual cases that are reported through other organizations, then they bring it up at the table of the coalition. We have a monthly meeting where immigrant groups are represented. If a specific immigrant doesn't know how to come to the coalition, they can always talk to their community association, which is represented in the coalition, and will get the word and work on the issue.
That's really helpful. When people are brand new, how do they find their way to the community association?
Usually someone who comes in knows someone. If doesn't know someone, there's a community there. So they will meet people in different places and through churches or through other common friends or through the service providers and get to know. But usually we have a responsibility as a community association to get the word out. So we're working on distributing flyers and putting posters in key places where immigrants can have our phone numbers and emails and be able to contact.
That's great. I'm so glad that's there for people. Just start, you know, language barrier aside, with other people who understand and can get you started.
Absolutely.
So when we met before, you talked about a real passion of yours, which was not just having people have a voice, but really a hand in the management of their lives. I wondered if we could talk a little bit about meaningful ways that people can contribute to their society here as New Mainers.
I remember we talked too much last time, to the point I even get a ticket, if you remember that.
I got a ticket too. We talked too long. We won't get tickets here. We're safe.
Yes. So I think that immigrants need to be represented in different forums. It's not because they're a minority that they don't need to be represented. And there's a lot of organizations working on immigrant issues too, or on different other issues. Immigrants, first of all, I think the best strategy and the thing we've been doing last year now, and mostly with the support of the Maine People's Alliance, was to integrate the immigrants in the different issues that are at stake for Maine communities. Healthcare is an issue that is also at stake for immigrants.
Healthcare,
as well as minimum wage on the other issue. So there's no distinction between what immigrants are looking for, what is better for immigrant communities than for Maine communities in general. So joining the mainstream immigrants, mainstream Mainers in the other fights for social justice was the first step. We won't be having anyone fighting with us if we don't fight with others. So I thank Maine People's for allowing immigrants to be able to express their views and advocate for different issues that are at stake for communities. The second step is how to get immigrants on the table where decisions are made around them. I'm glad that in the coalition, when I came in as coordinator, the main focus of the coalition was to have new Mainers, to have immigrants at the table with other organizations who maybe at that time didn't have enough outreach to get the word out and get groups joined. Because of that commitment, immigrant groups have joined. And today we have a strong coalition, and a coalition where immigrants feel that they are represented and they have a space to be able to work with others. So we're expanding the same work in other cities like Lewiston, where again the coalition has been able to play an important role into different fights going on around immigrants.
Policy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is, how to connect with elected officials. How to make elected officials, instead of being firefighters when there are issues that are against immigrants. We've seen really great statesmen coming up and advocate and defend immigrants' rights, which is great. But I would like to see more of those same elected officials come up with proactive policies to really talk about immigrant integration.
I think that's great. Instead, do you work with the community to get them to call their legislators and their state senators?
Not only that, we're also trying to organize electoral visit, go and meet them, talk to them. We have had many immigrants going in Augusta and testify in front of different committees. We have had joint press conference with United officials and immigrants representing and talking about different issues. Giving them a voice is good, and connecting, and now try together to move an agenda towards immigrant integration is my goal.
That's a wonderful goal. When we were talking about it earlier, I kind of got excited about this topic too and thought, join a board. Tell everybody to join a board. If you want to be at the table where people are making decisions, anything you have a passion for, the school board, the library board, the Light and Power board, anything that you care about that you bring expertise to, I would encourage people to join boards, because so often boards are looking for diversity, but they keep getting the same kinds of applicants. And I think that's a wonderful place for people to have a voice.
I agree with you. But again, it's, you know, decision about a board I made not publicly. So beyond saying that we're open to diversity, I would say just wear diversity lenses and get people on board.
Reach out and ask an immigrant to come.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because we have a lot of people who have the strongest feeling about diversity, who really are pro-diversity, want to integrate minorities and immigrants. But from the willingness to the action, sometimes take time, and maybe we need to move them a bit and encourage them to come.
Well, just like there's a life cycle of an immigrant, there's probably a life cycle of a host community where it comes as part of your consciousness, but it's a little while until you actually know a few people and might know one that's perfect for this job.
I never thought about it, but that's smart. I like that.
Well,
I like
thanks.
To think that way and keep pushing people.
Yeah, I think
to make
it's
the cycle move faster.
I'd also like to say, for anybody who is a new Mainer and wants to have a voice in the community, they could come right here to WMPG, train. It's a very simple training. It's a six-hour training. And then apply to have a show. It's free. The training is $25, but then being on the air, you're a volunteer here, and you can speak in your own language and be a community hub.
I think we talked about it last time. I think your program is really great, and I love to see it expanding and be open really to our people, to new manners.
Well, I know WMPG is open to that, and so is community TV. So if people have those skills, I would strongly encourage them to go in that direction. So Maine has about 3.3% new Mainers at this point. The national average is more like 14.3%. I think we're seeing the community becoming more and more aware that we have a new immigrant population, because it's kind of slow to come to Maine, but here we are. What do you think we can learn from what's been going on around the country about models that might work well in Portland and all throughout Maine, which is a rather rural state?
So Maine, as any other state, is really, there are issues about immigrants, about immigration, are federal issues. And I also believe there are other issues that are literally local issues. If you have a population struggling, starving, this is not a federal issue, it's a local issue. If you have a population that needs to be able to live, to get jobs, to be integrated, to learn English, in order to be part of the workforce, this is a local issue. But at the same time, some issues are not moving on federally. Immigration reform is not moving. I don't know if you know, but we have a big number of Latin American here in Maine. Undocumented people who live in the
documented
shadow.
Documented or undocumented?
Undocumented.
Undocumented.
Who live in the shadow and who deserve better. It's not because Washington is not moving that we should forget these people. These are people who cannot get driving licenses. These are people who cannot get a bank account. These are people who sometimes are exploited by employers and have to work, and sometimes some of their wages even be stolen. These are parents who have U.S.-born citizens. The worst thing I ever heard about that is what mothers tell their kids when they go to work in the morning. What is the protocol if the mother doesn't come back in the evening? What the child has to do? You think about it, that this is everyday life, people. And you have goosebumps, because this is really inhuman and unacceptable. And it's happening here now. And nobody is doing anything.
What could we do?
I think we could do as many other states did. We're not advancing immigration reform. We should de-escalate deportation, stop deportation, stop separating families. Number two, give people driving licenses. There are many studies who prove that giving licenses to undocumented people is safer for everyone. Get people out of the shadow. New York is moving on to give temporary work permit to people. So if Maine is really willing, like everybody says, that we need a population, an immigrant population, that will be able to tackle the jobs that the aging population is leaving. If I was a Mainer, if I was a policymaker, I would wonder and care about which type, what level of education. Is it a strong, is it a workforce we can rely on? If not, what can we do to change it? That would be my take, because about preparing the future.
Mm-hmm. I believe ConnectEd is working on that a little bit. Cradle to career, to make sure everybody is appropriately able to demonstrate their gifts.
Yeah, I think there's so many other stakeholders are working on that too. Yeah, hope to see things changing.
Alain, you are a wonderful person. I think that your advocacy on behalf of women is important and timely, but everything that you're doing is moving toward making a stronger, more unified community. And I want to thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me here, and let me know if there's anything we can do to support your radio in terms of getting the word out about the good thing you're working.
Well, thank you. I look forward to collaborating with you in the future as well.
Thanks, Kate.
I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Alain Nahimana. You've been listening to New Mainers Speak, and we'll close today's program with some music that Alain has selected for us. Can you tell us a little bit about this song we're going to play?
Yes, this name of the song is Kugasozi, which is like on the hill. It's maybe someone who, I imagine the song, someone who has to flee his country and flee anything and go somewhere to hide and find himself with only support from God and from the community.
Ukobije niyo ningwara mutsindi.